Welcome to What's Up in Jeju, where I visit places around the island and talk about what's happening with hashtag Daily K's host, Peter Bint.
Okay, so for today's What's Up in Jeju, what is up in Jeju?
Right, so we will be discussing a foraging expedition I partook, and this past week I did, went out and I foraged, just like the olden days before cell phones, you know, good old 20,000 years ago. And not just for
amazing.
Yeah, not just for any edible plants, but specifically for one that is beloved, a beloved staple in Korea. I've decided to do this because Jeju Island is renowned for golsari, also known as fernbrake.
Yeah, I think that our listeners, many who are not familiar with Korean cuisine, will, number one, definitely not know the Korean golsari, and then number two, will might not even know the English fernbrake, at least as a food source. I think the most common way a lot of my English friends would know it is bracken.
Yeah.
But I think technically it is meant to be called bracken fern, golsari.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It's not my favorite banchan side dish out there, but when I'm having bibimbap or maybe yukgaejang, the mixed rice or the kind of spicy soup with the beef broth, then it's got to be in those to make it complete.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, that's probably just a really good point, Peter. Why don't we just dive into our first image? I think when a lot of our, especially our viewers, when they see the picture, they're like, oh, okay, that's what it is. Golsari.
Yeah, we've got it on the screen. So this is once it's been kind of treated and dried and like seasoned and everything. That's what it ends up looking like. I'm assuming that's not how you picked it unless you were foraging in a banchan store.
You assume correctly, so why don't we just dive into our next image? We can see the next one, and that'll show you it in its natural state.
Okie dokie. We'll get our second image up as well. And it looks very different, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is me with the golsari I snagged on my foraging adventure last week. As you can see, the plants start off mostly green. Honestly, sometimes with touches of brown and sometimes a little bit fuzzy. It's really wild because the wild golsari, it really depends on its specific, like, environment within its own, like, 1 by 1 meter space that kind of really influences how it's going to look. It comes down to just knowing what you're looking for, because you can pick the wrong plant and you'll be in trouble there. But, I went and I picked this golsari, and it was a fresh shower. I was so excited because the day before we had some pretty heavy rain, and that's great because once you have heavy rain, the day after is prime picking time. And, you know, along with that, Jeju's clean, the weather's friendly, so the golsari here thrives here. People from all over the country, they fly down here now. You know, all of the in-laws, those who live here, Koreans who live here, all the in-laws are coming down right now to go hunt some golsari.
Amazing, yeah. And if you weren't watching the video stream yet, as a side dish, it's very, like, brown, uniformly so, and it's a bit soft, but it's chewy at the same time. But when you're picking it, it's very much predominantly green, and it looks like it's got a lot of life in it still.
Yeah.
And that eventually becomes your golsari side dish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are you allowed to just go and pick it randomly?
That's a really good question. You can't just go picking golsari willy-nilly in the forest, especially in national parks. That's just a big no-no and could land you a hefty fine. Up to 50 million won, you could even face jail time. So you really got to stick to private land with permission or especially designated grasslands. So that's a really good point, Peter. Thanks for bringing that up.
That's interesting. Yeah, in the UK, like, no one eats this. So a lot of Koreans will go into the forest or parks and pick out, sometimes I think more than you're supposed to. And I don't even know if you're supposed to pick any.
Yeah.
But it just gets frowned upon, not for purposes of like, oh, you're taking all our golsari, but just like, what are you going to do with that? A lot of Brits will ask Koreans out in groups, like Korean churches will often go after Sunday during the season and get a load of this. And Brits are then like, no, you can't eat that. And they're like, no, of course we can.
Yeah.
And that leads to an interesting conversation as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are there then like some dangerous plants out there that if you're not trained, you might be picking?
That's the key word is if you are trained or not trained, it's best to really go with folks who know what they're doing, not just for navigation, because you really got to know the best golsari picking spots, as you'll see, are in the middle of this bush, and it's very easy to lose your way. Oh. It can get quite dangerous, and there have been cases of some pretty dangerous situations. Not just that, as far as getting lost, but also, Jeju, we were with a buddy of ours who was kind enough to show us around, and he pointed out some seriously poisonous plants that look like these little, like these little, like, sprouts, like, oh, that's cute. And he's like, yeah, that's like 20 times deadlier than cyanide. You would just have no idea.
What?
Right? Yeah. So it's really best to have somebody who really knows what they're doing, honestly.
Do we have a map time, by the way, to show us where you did this?
We do have a map time. Why don't we check out the map, Peter? Dun 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 dun. Ha ha! Look at that.
What have you done? Is this like Mario time? It looks like one of those little blocks that I would bash with my fist with a question mark and an exclamation mark.
Right, because it's a secret, Peter. That's the thing. It's like, you know, there's expressions in Korean where you don't even tell your own children your favorite Goal City spots, right?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so you really keep it a secret that folks within themselves, their own community, they'll say, oh yeah, I went out and picked some Goal City, but you never tell them where your spots are, because those, you don't want everybody else to come and hoard all your favorite pickings, right?
Wow, that's just selfish, but I've come to expect that. I'm sure the listeners have as well. We can't be more specific because Mark is not playing ball. You did seem to have a great time. Wait, what kind of area was that? Was that somewhere that was private or a designated piece of land where anyone can do it?
Yeah, it was an odum, right? You know, a volcanic cone, one of the smaller hills, volcanic hills in Jeju. But the thing is, like, it's quite funny because, you know, all of us are trying to play off as hikers. So even when we're like walking by people on the trail, we're all just like, doo, doo, doo. But we all know like what's going on. Like the thing is, when we showed up early, it was good because by the time we were leaving, it was like maybe 8:30, right? And that's when folks were showing up. The real ones were showing up. They had like special poles and special bags and everything.
Wow.
And we all, again, we all kind of just gave each other the same look. Like we're all just like look at each other and then just kind of the, you know, looking up into the air like, oh, we're just hiking.
You know. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had Lenny saying from Indonesia, I love hunting plants like this. When I was a kid, my dad took me to visit an old and big house with lots of fruit plants and the company of a person who took care of that house, and I hunted the fruit. It's an interesting way to talk about it. Like, yeah, going hunting, I guess it is a form of hunting. Foraging is just where your prey is not on the move, I suppose.
Well, it's just like, you know, what you hear about in the history books, right? Anthropology and the history of humankind. It's just like you have your hunter-gatherer, right? So we were just doing the gathering part, right? Just how it was done, really, thousands of years ago. Your phone, your GPS is not going to do you any good, because if you look on the map, it's just going to be a blank like green blob because you're in this trailless thing in the GPS. So you're really on your own. You just kind of have to use your intuition of nature. And it just makes you wonder, like, you know, think of our Korean ancestors and even wherever you're from, the ancestors of wherever nation you're from. Like, how did they decide, you know, process of elimination? Like, what was delicious? What was deadly kind of thing? Even gosari, it is toxic. It does have toxins. It is poisonous. So there are methods you have to do to take out that poison. And even foraging animals like cows and wild horses that we saw, they can get poisoned as well if they eat too much. So it just makes you wonder, like,
of course,
you know, appreciate our forefathers and foremothers, just the hard work that they did to decide what was good to eat.
Yeah, probably lots of sacrifice along the way has led us to know what we can and can't eat. Sherry says from Ohio, I think I've tried this bracken concoction, maybe at a sushi restaurant. It was like a jelly block and had some brown powder on it. I think that might be cognac, if I'm not mistaken, because I don't think gosari is used to make jelly, as far as I'm aware. And the other concoction, if it's a Korean restaurant, might be mook, which is our jelly usually made from, like, acorns and whatnot. Gosari, usually, you know what it is because you can see it. It looks like the first photo Mark showed with the brown color to it.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be put in kimbap and other things like that as well. There's also some soups and some dishes we'll talk about later that will feature gosari too.
Yeah, and not to get confused with oolong, which is another like brown long side dish that we have. That's got a bit more crunch to it than korsari, which is a bit softer but kind of chewy at the same time. So how was the experience as a whole? Do it again?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my goodness, yes, yes. It just... you just got to know when to do it and who to do it with. It was really one of my favorite moments, I think, in recent history here on the island. Just amazing, really fun.
Oh,
yeah,
that's good. Yeah, and you mentioned it is poisonous, and we eat it here in Korea. So I do remember Mum saying after picking it in the UK that they have to treat it a certain way for it to become edible, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. In fact, if we show this next image, it shows the prepared or drying out gosari, what I had to do to dry it out. And that is after I did the method to remove the toxins. So if we take a look at that.
Oh, so you remove the toxins before putting it on this like tarpaulin and drying it out just in the air.
Yeah, that's quite vital, right? You don't want to just take the fresh gosari and then kind of dry it out first because it still has all that toxin within. So there are things that you have to do on how to remove such toxins.
Oh, that's really interesting. And then after that's done, you just put it outside.
Let it dry. And, you know, it's good to find a sunny, windy area. And you end up with this. I brought it into the studio.
Oh, you got
it
in the studio.
So here it is, nice and dry.
Oh, wow, that looks very dry.
Very dry. But then what you're used to seeing, we go ahead and we soak this again, and then it gets moist and it becomes what you're used to seeing in restaurants. But quite dry.
Yeah, Chef Ryan often talks about that amazing thing in Korean cuisine. A lot of the time we will dry things out, then like have it reconstituted with water again, and the texture completely changes. The other thing I can think of is like ugoji, which I think are dried radish or cabbage tops, and they taste brilliant. But the same goes for korsari. You don't need it dry like that.
Right. And one thing I want to point out, you can see the tops here, like they're these little, that's the kind of the bunches, the sewn part of the fern before it unfurls.
The little baby hands.
You typically won't find that in markets, because for whatever reason they think the value drops if it's still on. It's still delicious. It's still yummy. You can leave it on if you'd like. I personally love it. I think it's yummy. So, you know, what they'll do is they'll kind of roll it to let the heads kind of fall off on their own. But I keep them on and they taste just fine, just yummy.
Oh, nice. One of our Korean listeners, you'll see this more in bibimbap and yukgaejang soup than anywhere else. And I guess during the season, you might just see it as a banchan, a side dish put out on the table. Sherry has gone and checked her sushi restaurant menu.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
It said the jelly was made from bracken starch.
All right.
Wow, I'm
going
to have to try that.
Yeah.
So that must mean it's not just Korea. Maybe our neighbors Japan might eat it as well, it seems. But definitely in the UK, it was not a thing you'd see on dinner tables ever.
Right, that's right. I mean, China, Japan, as we've just found out. Korea, it uses it a lot. It's undeniable. Ray Kim, she brought up a really good point. Gosari yukgaejang, also the gosari haejangguk, or the gosari hangover soup or porridge. If we take a look in the next image here, take a look in the last image.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've never heard of that before. Gosari haejangguk.
Yeah, so gosari, shredded pork broth. Some of these restaurants on the island are so popular that it's just lines out the door. You know what I mean? And you'll find out it's gosari haejangguk
place. It looks
place.
Very thick and brown.
Yeah, at that point, you know, the gosari almost kind of loses its form and becomes like almost like a thick porridge because it's just the heat just almost melts the gosari.
Wow. How does it taste?
I haven't. So first, it's a hangover soup. So maybe first I need to partake and, you know, and then try it out to get the full effect. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I've not heard of that on the mainland, so it must be thanks to Jeju's abundant amount of korsari.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do some more cooking in part three, preparing it in not a strictly traditional way.
Yeah, this is a Korean Western fusion recipe, not that I came up with. This was based off of Korean bloggers, right? So I didn't, you know, just... abominize a korsari here. It's we diligently looked. JY diligently looked for very popular Korean Western fusions, and it was pasta a leo olio kind of recipe that we found by a popular Korean blogger.
Wow.
So it turned out pretty great.
I've never heard of kosari being used in pasta before, and maybe this is a good thing because it can be a bit tricky to perhaps first try out kosari. It's not something that might immediately take your fancy, so this might be a good gateway.
I'm so curious.
Okay, if I could describe the texture, not the taste, but the texture, it would be like kind of freshly cooked asparagus, right? You know how asparagus is, it has a bit of like firmness to the outside part, but then it's a bit soft on the inside. Not the taste, but as far as the taste, we are talking top pungmi or umami, like savory. Even the smell is so pungmi, you know, just really, really savory smell. It was so like the smell, the fresh smell, it was almost like a thick, saucy smell to it, if I can explain it.
Yeah, that is a good way to describe kosari. It's not a punch you in the face kind of smell, but or flavor. That savoriness to it. And like not the same as a sea urchin umami kind of flavor, but definitely on that scale.
Yeah.
And I think you're right as well. It's more the textural experience, which is why a lot of Koreans like it. Why it's in bibimbap and yukgaejang and things like that. It's not overpowering you with flavor, but it's just adding to the layer of texture. Oh, I'm really curious. I don't know if I'm going to do it at home, but I'm curious. So next time I'm in Jeju, thank you and please, Mark.
Yeah, please. Yeah, go ahead and really try the fresh picked ones. You know, it's quite different than the prepared ones, than the dried. Then they dried and then redone. It's a very different experience.
Yeah, and it must be a bit tricky to get your hands on these fresh. There must be a seasonal window for that in your local maybe supermarket or fruit and veg place.
Yeah, right now. I mean, it's like the end of the March, early April. And as you said, difficult to get hands on because, Peter, you got to go out and pick it, brother. That's how you get it.
Yeah, Ray's saying, I guess you could describe it a little bit similar to cooked mushrooms. Yeah, depending on the mushroom species, I suppose. Could be similar to a few of those. Maybe the stringy ones. No, it doesn't really have that texture, does it? Asparagus, that's a good kind
the
of
fresh.
Synonym.
Yeah.
Marcus, thank you so much for this week and you becoming a chef for us. If you want to find out more information, there's a website for a festival.
Yeah, that's happening in April next Saturday and Sunday. It's Jeju Gold City Festival taking place in Namwon Village in the southern port. So check out www.jejugoldcity.net if you're interested. So they got a festival going on.
Nice stuff. All right, we'll see you again next Tuesday.
See you then, brother. What's Up in Jeju is supported by the JDC, which is creating a free international city that resembles nature, embraces the future, and reaches the world. I'm Mark Wilson Che, with writer Che Jung-yun. This is Arirang Radio.